officer, which is Bob Boyd.
Sorry, guys.
That's okay.
Okay.
So that all those questions fall under Bob Boyd. There's nothing in that our district can decide on or enforce that relates to what somebody does on their lot other than the driveway.
Right.
Okay. So that, and that's Paula's point, is why would the enforcement officer say, well, here's what we require, but you may want to check with Idlewise? Because he knows there's nothing else that we require, and we, even if we did, it's unenforceable. So it should be clear to the, and it's confusing for a property owner that, you know, well, whose rules am I following? It should be the town of Madison. End of discussion. Other than the driveway permit, because it impacts our roads.
Right. But that's the point. So we initiated a driveway permit application process many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Not since the beginning, but many years ago. It was controlled by Madison. So we initiated that, and that became the control of the village district. And we could do so, we could create another ordinance today that would just affect the village district, and that the property owner would have to go through the village district in order to get permission to do something like a driveway.
But we don't. Because the first thing Bob Boyd said is, unless the VDOE has rules prohibiting it, building just a garage on a buildable lot is allowed.
Yeah.
So basically he's saying, I'm okay with it, but now you've got to check with Idlewise to make sure it's okay with them.
Right.
So anyway, it's confusing for a property owner not understanding how Idlewise fits into the Madison infrastructure.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
All right.
So is that clear everything up, Don?
I'm sorry. Can I interrupt? Do you guys need me? Because I got some stuff going on.
Oh.
Let me just take a quick look, Kelly. Oh, yeah, Kelly, a quick. Good question. So I think it was about a week and a half ago that there was an email that came through about Dawson unloading an excavator down on Salins, and then he drove the excavator up the Salins and then a newly paved section of Bristenstock up Reinhardt Place to a property that Dawson's is working on at the top of Reinhardt. Do you have any pictures of – I have some pictures of the tracks left in the snow from that incident. Do you happen to have any?
No, I saw no damage to the asphalt. That's what I was concerned about.
Exactly.
And
I don't
enforce these things. I just make sure there's no problem with it.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but I know it was already reported. The police were called and everything else, so I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, because we have a motion that was made to send a letter fining the contractor $100. That's what it says in the ordinance, $100 fine for the first offense, $1,000 fine for those after that. Okay,
well,
I don't have anything else.
Well, you can fine him twice because he drove it back down yesterday.
Well, we didn't notify him of the first one, so we can't, I don't think we can, anyway, but.
Well, yeah. He was caught bringing it back down because he had to load it and get it out of there, and he couldn't drive his truck up Reinach Road, so he drove the excavator back down Bristenstock and loaded it down there.
Yeah. Okay. So, hey, Kelly, just before you leave, there was an email came through from Catherine Bartoszewski complimenting you on the snow plowing, and also from Mark Grapham about some rocks on, I believe it's Appenville, with some markers that may have been hit last year with the wing blade or something to that effect. So just in the future, Donna, when an email comes through pertaining to the road, if it's, you know, a concern, something like this, immediately send that to Kelly.
I sent both of the emails to him.
Yeah, she usually does.
All right. And, you know, the commissioners also see these, but it really doesn't need to be on the agenda because there's really no decision for the commissioners to make in this particular issue. But, again, good job, Kelly, on the snow plowing. I'm glad people are realizing it.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about the rock too much.
Yeah, but I think that's all I have for Kelly. Anybody, Paula or Kathy?
I just want clarification on the agenda. Wouldn't all correspondence go to for the meeting? That's what I was told earlier, and not for anything, but like the email from Catherine Bardzalowski, she's commending the DPW for the plowing. That should be made public, I think. But if you don't, that's fine. But I always, all these correspondents usually...
Donna, this is Paula. We need to get through these meetings faster. I made this point. I've been making this point all along. Appreciate that. And what I think you need to do is, when you get a note like that from somebody, forward it to everybody. Forward it to one email, DPW Commissioners, FYI. And if it's something you need to put attention on, you might say, Kelly, you need to attend to this, okay? And then it's over. It's done. Now, if one of us then in the meeting wants to bring it up and say, hey, Kelly, good job on this, great. But we have got to stop wasting time in meetings talking about things. That we don't. That's all. I'm sorry. These meetings are 3 hours long. It is insane, and I'm done with it. I got to tell you, we got to stop wasting time. End of story.
That's fine.
Okay. All right.
This is ridiculous.
Okay. Right. So I think we're good, Kelly. You can go and tinker with the trucks, I guess. And I'm going to jump back to Donna for the administration. And so, Catherine Deal, the payroll proposal, anything that I think we all saw her email. And go ahead, Donna, I'll let you talk to her explanation.
It's just that she said it would be done in house, and that she never had a problem prior, so it's entirely up to you, the board, whether you want to accept it or not accept it.
So I'll ask the board, is this something that we want to accept?
So what she's saying is that all the weekly or biweekly payroll gets processed automatically through QuickBooks, and Donna's doing that through QuickBooks. So that gets done. But she would be filing our quarterlies, and then she would be doing our year-end. And you got 30 days to do the quarterly. So she's saying even if something did happen, there's 30-day window there where that report could get filed with payment to the state.
Right, and I think that would be an in-house operation if she were to get sick, and I think Donna would have to pick that up, right?
That's my understanding.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I used to do it. I own my own business for a couple of years, so I used to do them, and it's just basically, taking the withholdings and sending them a check.
Yeah.
Is there any additional burden on the office by switching to this, assuming that Catherine doesn't get sick and can't do it? Any additional work for the office?
No. Nope, not at all.
And I would support making this change.
Okay. And what are our potential cost savings by going with this? Do we know that number?
Was not off the top of my head, Jay.
The first email was like $1,300 was the first estimate that she gave us.
For her services? Or was that the savings?
That was the savings.
Okay. All right, so I'm fine with that. So, Paula, do you want to make the motion to accept Catherine's services?
Yeah, I will make the motion that we accept her proposal that she start doing the quarterly and year-end reports or whatever their proposal is.
Okay, and I'll second that motion. Do we have any further discussion on Catherine's proposal and our acceptance of her contract? Okay, hearing none, all in favor say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Okay. If you can get back to her, Donna, with that approval, that'd be great.
Okay.
Okay. We talked about the appraisal of the truck. The approval of the minutes for 12:29. Let's go through them one by one. Where was this? I had, this is the 12th, let me just go back, make sure I got the right one. 12th, oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so 12-21, I'll make a motion to approve the minutes of 12-21, excuse me, not 12-21, is that right?
12-29 is on the agenda.
Yeah, 12-29.
Yeah, 12-21's already posted.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll make that motion.
I'll second.
Okay.
Second.
Any further discussion on 12-29? Okay, hearing none, I'll ask for a roll call. I vote yes.
Yes.
Aye.
Okay. Then we go to the non-public for 12-29. Okay. I'll make that motion that we approve the non-public minutes of 12-29. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 Okay. All right. 12-29 non-public passes. 12-31, 2020, the last day of the year, of last year. I'll make a motion that we approve the agenda for 12-31.
The minutes?
Agenda.
I'm sorry, the minutes.
I'll second.
Okay. And let's see. There
all in favor, yes.
Okay. No, wait, because I do have one change on Section 5, if I can find it. Here it is. Correspondence. The second to last sentence, we were talking about what we just talked about, which was the looking up the ordinance for steel-tracked vehicles traveling on district roads. And Jay Buck, it says Jay will look into the ordinance and issue a fine if the ordinance is correct. But correct me if I'm wrong, but I think Paula actually looked that up while we were talking about it, read it to us, and it's Section F of the highway ordinance. And Paula actually made the motion to go ahead and send the fine of $100 for the first offense to Dawson's Excavation. And it was seconded.
I did look it up, and we did make the motion, and we did decide to go ahead and sign them.
Yeah.
Okay,
I
don't remember. Sorry,
I don't know who made the motion. That's okay. I don't know who made the motion, yep. but it was made.
Yeah, I have. Kathy made the motion, and then seconded. I think I seconded it, and for the letter, fining Dawson $100 for the violation. Okay? And that's the only change I had in those minutes. So with that amendment, do we want to approve the minutes of 12-31 with that amendment?
Yeah, just one other point for discussion on minutes, really, for anyone taking minutes, whether it's Donna, I take them sometimes, I know different people do. When you mention the district's attorney, you should put, this is really nitpicky, but there should, I think, be an apostrophe after between districts, because it, a lot of times you read district attorney, and I was reading it, I go, we didn't send anything to the district attorney, what are they talking about? And
the state district attorney, yep.
Yeah, that's what it read as when I was reading it really quickly, and I was like, whoa. And then I thought, oh, she means our district's attorney. So it's possessive. Just if you think of it, it's not a huge deal.
Yeah.
But for history's sake, if anyone were ever to go back to these minutes and not know what we were talking about, it could be confusing. And it is a legal thing. So just a small nit. Thanks. It's fine for the ones you've already put it in.
All right. Okay. Who just joined the meeting? 8812, please.
Yes, this is Brad Jones, Jones of Beach Engineers.
Hi, Brad.
Hi, how you doing?
Good. We just got one more thing under administration to clear up, Brad, and then we'll get right to you.
Sure, not a problem. Yep.
Okay. So we got the last minute set of minutes of the non-public from June 6, 2021, which was yesterday, and I'll make a motion to approve those minutes. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
I'll second. These are public minutes, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, the public.
But I submitted.
We went into public, to the non-public, and then came out in public.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Yes.
Okay. And the last couple of things I added was the small claims process. Have we started anything on that, Donna?
No.
Okay. And how about the certified letter to shut off the water for the water users of non-payment?
K Kathy was going to write a letter. I haven't received it.
Okay. All right. All right. Okay. Now,
yeah, sorry about that.
Right over to, yeah, swing right over to Brad. So, Brad, I know there's a lot of conversations going back and forth on the disbursements. So I'll
sure.
turn the microphone over to you and let you fill us in where you are, where you're at.
Yeah, we did finally make contact with Rick, and we were able to talk to him and come up with how the format he wanted on the disbursements. So, so we've sent him back an email as of I guess it was yesterday, and we just want to confirm, and if he's okay with that format, then we can fill that disbursements. It's going to affect 3, 4, and 5 as well, just the way everything's set up. So it's more you know, it's more just the way the form is filled out, and but you know, we want to make sure he's okay with everything first. So so that's the latest. It took a while. We did send him a couple of drafts and hadn't heard back, and this is we finally made contact with him yesterday, you know, and he explained exactly what he wanted to. Paige was dealing with all that, and like I say, we're just waiting for final confirmation, and then we will have that document hopefully today and then get that out to you. So
okay. So once that document is validated and then comes out to the village district office,
yes.
Is there any idea how soon we might actually receive any of those disbursement payments?
I can ask Rick that. I would think it's just a matter of him, you know, once he's got all the paperwork, I wouldn't think it would take him that long. But I can ask that question and let him know that there's urgency to try to get this paid as soon as possible, where it's lingered for a while, you know. So
yeah,
just so you know, I mean, it has gone back and forth. Even when we talked to Chris about it, and there was a couple of different versions that he had sent to Rick, and then Rick had approved it and said it was all set, and then now it's something different. And that's fine. I mean, we have to know how he wants it, but we thought we were all set with the way we had set up the disbursements 3 and 4 prior when Chris was submitted it. So there's a little disconnect, but once we know the process and exactly what they want, we can do that on each disbursement, you know.
Yeah, and just to touch base on what you mentioned, the urgency, I just want to inform the other two commissioners in the office, as well as our treasurer who's online, that we just made a payment for $16,500+, somewhere around there, for one of our bond payments for this project.
Yep.
But since we did not have, correct me if I'm wrong, Donna, but since we did not have sufficient funds in our water project budget, we actually had to take that out of the operating budget. And we're about to close our books for last year. And so that would be reflected as a ding against our operating budget. When in
no,
fact,
Jay,
really
Jay,
not.
Back, Jay. Okay, back
yep.
up. So I talked to Donna about this yesterday. So the account that we're paying the bills from is when we receive the loan and we receive grant money, that money is separated to pay for the cost of the construction project. Repaying the loan is completely separate. That is an operating budget expense for 2021. So just like paying back the Greater Lease or the Oak Ridge loan, that those loan payments do come out of the operating budget. The bills for construction, which was DN Tank, Dawson's, and Jones and Beach, and the miscellaneous, those are the bills that get paid out of the proceeds of the loan.
Right, but once we get these disbursements, don't they get used to offset that loan?
The bills for the cost of construction, not repayment of the loan. Because we received the proceeds from the loan, and out of those proceeds, that's what pays the bills for the project. Paying back the loan, that's just an operating budget expense, just like all the other long-term
yep.
loans that we have, whether it's the truck, the Greater Lease, Oak Ridge. So those things are budgeted for 2021. That does come out of the operating budget, because that's not
okay.
the cost of construction. That's cost of repaying the loan.
Okay. I got it.
Does that make
All
sense?
Right.
Okay. There was some discussion about that. So we can't pay any more bills related to the cost of the construction because that account is not sufficient. But the operating budget side will be paying back the monthly principal and interest on the loan because it's two separate things.
Okay.
Right. And the only outstanding thing is I have three invoices from Jones and Beach that we don't have enough money in the account to pay.
Okay, so that will wait. Those we will wait until the disbursements come through and get those paid. Because the guy from the municipal bank said, make sure that that you keep that money and those bills very separate from your operating budget.
Right.
Okay.
That's fine with us.
Yeah. Okay. What's outstanding is $1,567.50.
Total?
Total.
Okay.
And so that's for going to Jones and Beach for their services?
Yes.
Okay. All right. And you said there's not enough money in our budget? Project budget for that?
Yep, those were the ones that you wanted me to hold because you wanted to see if they would be relocated to the different accounts with Jones and Beach.
Contracts, right.
The contracts.
Yeah. So I know there was, Brad, I know there was contract number 6.
Yep.
And that was for $9,000. There were two pieces to it. One was for $4,000 to get a operations manual for the pump house. And then the other one was $5,000 for time, or up to $5,000 for time that would be spent in addition to what was projected for Chris or Jones and Boots to oversee the project. And I think we got a bill of close to $2,000 above and beyond that contract. And we got it late, after Chris had left, and my concern is, we had a contract that we talked about at length and only approved once we knew that it was for $9,000 and it would not go above and beyond. And now we're seeing that it's almost $2,000 more just for that contract.
Yeah, and I think that's been reallocated to, it should have been put on, I'm pretty sure it was either contract 1 or 2, which still had a budget. So we did reissue those invoices and put that back onto, it was either, I'm not sure if it was contract 1 or 2, but that had time. What happened was just that the time wasn't allocated correctly at the beginning into the right contract. So that should have been corrected, and those invoices should have been sent.
We haven't gotten them.
Well,
I haven't gotten anything, Brad.
Yeah, it would have been in that last disbursement. I think it was into that. But let me follow up on that, and I'll make sure you get that today.
Okay.
And I think as far as the disbursement, I'm going to have Paige fill out these forms according to what we've talked about with Rick. I'm not going to wait to hear back from him and then send that to him and then let him, right now we've kind of sent him I don't know if you saw the email, more the way we were going to set it up. I'm going to actually just set it up and send it and then see if we can get them to approve that, just speed up the process the best we can, you know.
Okay. And just couple other questions, actually. The letter that we were hoping to receive from Dawson about the winter suspension, has he provided anything?
No, I don't know, probably requested that 8 or 9 times. And he does acknowledge it and says, yep, not a problem, I can get that coming your way. And then I have not got that letter from him, so...
Okay. Are there any outstanding invoices for him?
Yes.
No.
Nope. Well, I thought the two culverts.
We never got a bill for that, Jay. We've discussed that. They never billed us.
Haven't billed.
Well, if any more invoices come in from him, we're not paying them until he gets us the letter. Stop paying people who aren't doing the job that they're supposed to do.
And I can let him know that I'll reach out to him today and let him know that. Just so you know, this is something that Rick wanted as well. And it makes sense. I mean, we want this on record. You know, with a letter,
this shouldn't be that big a deal.
No,
somebody
it's not,
in his office knock out a letter, and it's just not acceptable.
So I will.
This is Kathy, and I think the whole reason for the letter is that the contract gave them so many days to complete the project, and the winter shutdown, however many days he's in technically winter shutdown, those days do not go against his number of days to complete. So it's only in his best interest to, it doesn't affect us necessarily, but it affects him and how many days he has to get this job completed.
Yeah, absolutely. It's to his benefit. And that's why I'm not sure why. I don't think there's resistance. I just think it's just not getting done. You know, it's not.
Feel it's a nuisance, but it's in his best interest to do it.
Yeah. But I'll reach out again today and call him. And is there anything else for him at this point? I mean, everything's the site is there's no issues. I don't know if I missed anything with the discussions, but was there anything else we needed to discuss with him?
No, the site is all buttoned up.
Yep.
I don't see any open issues that could be rectified this moment or this winter. Kathy, Paul, do you have any concerns?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope, nothing else.
I think we're good, Brad. We're just, I think it's urgent that we try to get those disbursements as quickly as possible. Holidays slowed us down, but whatever you can do.
Yep, I'm on it. And like I say, we're going to fill out those disbursements right now and just send those back to Rick, and then so that'll just hopefully speed up the process. So.
Do they have to be signed first, though?
Well, they do, but I want him to look at the format and make sure he's okay.
Okay.
But I want him to see it on an email. I want to see him on the form. And if he's okay, then we can get that executed, you know. But just to kind of get something in front of him, really. But
okay, Kathy or Paula or Donna, does anybody have any other current concerns or questions for Brad?
No, just to keep the office in the loop with the disbursements, so that I know where we stand.
Okay. I'll copy you on what we send to Rick today, and I'll get that going right now. We'll send that out within a couple of hours.
Thank you, Brad.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right, Brad.
And Donna would just forward to all of us so I can update my little kind of tracking sheet as well.
Yep.
Yeah, not a problem. Yep. Okay. The talking.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, Brad.
All right. Sounds good.
You guys,
Brad. Have a good day.
You too.
Thank you.
All right. Bye now.
All right. Okay. Going right back to, I guess right now we're down to accounts payable. And I'm going to make a motion to approve the manifest of January 6, 2020. There's five checks totaling $19,472.72. Do I have a second to the motion?
I'll second it.
Any further discussion? The only discussion point I want to bring out, I mean, it looks like a big check, and the reason for that is that $16,000 plus bond payment is in there. That's why. So all in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. All right. I will come down and sign those checks, Donna. Signature item. Donna, if you can get a letter done today, there's no rush, but if you can get a letter done today, for Dawson for the $100 fine, I'll come down and sign that. There was a motion approved last week. And going down to commissioner's reports.
Okay. So Donna, I would include, too, that – so, Jay, on that letter, and if Donna can include it, the fine for a second offense is $1,000. So I would put that in that letter citing the first offense.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Okay.
Yeah, and all of this information about tracked vehicles was mentioned during our pre-construction meeting, so it was made aware. So going real quick through the commissioner's reports, Bob, are you on the call? Bob Ingram? Did we lose Bob?
No. Yes, we did, actually.
Okay. So then I'll... Say again?
Bob, are you there?
Bob Ingram?
He might be on
mute.
I don't...
Yes,
oh,
I'm here.
There you are. Yeah.
Okay. So, Bob, I guess the last correspondence, I have a couple of correspondence that went out to the NHMA, in which their response was they'll be updating their guidance. Things are changing. And then we also got some feedback legally, which also said, things are evolving from the district fund. So, but
that
as far as
$1,000.
So as far as the letter that, which is really in rough form, I just wanted to make sure I was trying to capture all the points that are required based on House Bill 1129. And you had made some suggestions. I agree with that, obviously, to post the House Bill 1129 on the website. But do you think where that letter needs to be cleaned up, obviously, for English, because I don't speak English, but do you think that's a good start?
I did. My response was I think it is a good start. I think that we need to have a few questions answered before we send it out. But I think that we need to clarify a little bit more about the voting, because I didn't get where there's going to be two ballots and only one ballot will be acceptable for absentee voting and the other ballot will not, as we discussed last week, and I don't think that's changed. So I think that there needs some clarification with that. And, of course, my biggest question still remains about a budget hearing on required or not required. Do you guys typically, you know how you have
I put together kind of my summary of my takeaway from both those documents, NHMA as well as the one from the attorneys from Drummond Woodward, Woodsum. And on the NHMA information, the first paragraph said everything will proceed normally until the annual meeting. So that seems to say that the budget hearing, which we have scheduled for January 27th, will be done the way that we planned on doing it. It'll be a virtual meeting, but nothing about the budget hearing has changed.
Okay.
So
I think that should be included in the letter. My point is that I think that should be included in this letter so they understand.
But the letter, the budget here, we're going to send out notification, whether it's email, whether it's web and website, whether we send a physical communication about the budget hearing. Once we've done it in the past, and typically we don't do it. So the communication that we are required to send is not about the budget hearing. It's about the two meetings that are now going to be the annual meeting and the drive-through portion. So the budget, to me, my interpretation is the budget hearing has not been changed. There's nothing different about the budget hearing this year. So none of those letters need to go out. No, the letter about the optional meeting will come out after the budget meeting.
I think Kathy is correct legally. I think the question is, depending, though, on when we send that letter out, we want to get it. I don't know if we can get it out earlier, if it has to go out just 7 days before. But if we can get a letter out with everything in it, I don't know why we wouldn't tell people. Say, here's the full schedule, and here's how the process is going to work. January 27th, there's a budget hearing. We have a bullet point with all the dates and all the, and then information on how to call in and, what's going to happen at each meeting and whatever. But I would, get it out before the 27th, we should include the budget because it's just good to let people know. But the other thing, too, is that this mailing we're going to do only goes to registered voters. So we also have to think about getting it out in an email and then also having it all posted on the website. So we just need to create one piece of communication that I think that is made available in different places with it that's very clear with all the data.
Yeah.
And how to
happen.
Access it. And that's it. I mean, I think I would think that. But I think Kathy's absolutely right. When I reread it again and I read her note, I think she did a really good job of summarizing it and laying out some dates for us. We have to have the budget hearing. And one of the attorneys...
Bob, I just sent Kathy's email to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I think, Bob, did I copy you on that email? I think I did.
No, but I did. Oh, yes, you did, actually.
I thought I did.
I'm sorry.
Yeah. And basically, in red, I just put down some dates so that, you know, we had a mailing set. So we do the budget hearing, which is the NHMA guidance said that will proceed as normal. There's nothing different about how we're going to. We could do an in-person meeting if we choose to, but that budget hearing is not been addressed in this new House bill. It's only the annual meeting process, not the budget hearing.
Right, and that's sort of what I kind of expected, even last week in our discussion, because the replacement of our, you know, our meeting is what we're discussing. So the budget hearing goes forward as planned, and then we just have to set dates for these. I still not sure if there's any restrictions as to dates for the other meetings.
Yeah, I think that's true. The other thing I would just say is about the absentee ballot. I mean, I know maybe somebody's going to get back to us, but you couldn't do the absentee ballot with the warrant. There's not enough time in the schedule.
Right.
Because you have to leave enough time for absentee ballots. They have to be returned by a certain date. They have to get out by a certain date. The warrant may change at one of these meetings. You're not going to be able to put the warrant on an absentee ballot. The only absentee ballot is going to be the officers, because we're going to know who those people are that are running. So
right.
I think the absentee ballot thing is resolved as well.
I agree.
Okay.
I agree 100%. Yep. It's just that we need to specify that. I mean, when I, you know, the document that I read that Jay put together, which was a great start, didn't specify that. And I think that needs to be specified, that an absentee ballot can be picked up for officer, you know, elections only. And the other ballot will be, a drive-through.
Oh, got it. Okay.
You know, so it's just so they understand that, you know.
Oh, okay. I thought you were still questioning whether we needed to do it.
No.
Thank you. That's
no,
great.
I think we resolved that last week in our discussion that it had to be separate, and only the original ballot would be able to be done by absentee. So that's good.
Yeah. I think we all agree with that.
Yeah. I think that the thing that we're waiting on right now is, you know, the message that came from the NHMA is that they will be putting together further guidance, because it seems like things are evolving. We also heard that comment from our own attorney, is that there are some unanswered questions. So we should expect, hopefully, to get a finalized set of guidance from the NHMA as well as our own attorney, hopefully very soon. But should we
put? It sounds like the House bill is not going to change. It's just the interpretation of that and how to implement it.
Yeah.
So
well,
could
it,
we?
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe that the House bill actually didn't encompass all the questions that are now being asked, and that probably they may be thinking, "Whoops, did we miss something? And do we need to put an amendment to the House bill?" So that actually may happen. I don't know. But it sounds like people going back to that House bill and saying, hey, you didn't answer this question or that question. Here's one question I have for all of us, and that is the first and traditional budget hearing, which we used to hold across from the police office. That will now be virtual. But what happens during that hearing is that people ask questions and they give their input, and then we, the commissioners, go back and adjust our budgets based on the hearing. We also, at that same hearing, talk about the warrant articles. And so my question is, that also is going to take place again during one of these alternative virtual meetings.
No. Listen, so Jay, this is exactly how we did it in the past. So based on the budget hearing in January, we present our budgets, we present the warrant articles, we tweak what we have to tweak, add, subtract, we can do all that in our following meeting. Then that gets entered into the DRA. That is our final warrant and budgets. Then, so that's what's final. Then we print it, we post it, we make copies available. At the first informational session of our annual meeting, everybody reviews that, gives us comments on that, and then that now becomes our deliberative session. And And instead of making the motion to adjust the amendments and, I'm sorry, the warrants and the budgets on the floor, it's incumbent upon us, like Bob made very clear, for us to take the public's input from that first informational session and consider that amended on the floor if we choose to do that. Then that then becomes the amended warrant. And then people just vote yes or no. And then we go to the DRA and fill in the amended changes that we make.
I have to tell you, Kathy, I think you really explained that very well. I hadn't thought about it that way, but I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
We're overcomplicating this.
There's only one issue there, and that the virtual meeting, not the informational meeting, the virtual meeting is where they public could actually talk. We could talk about amendments. You would have the right and the ability to make an amendment at that time. And then that's the final where people have their final say, pretty much.
Right.
So the informational meeting, you're going to take comments from email or however else we would do that, and then you can decide if at that point you want to make a change. And that change, I believe, can only be an amount. You can't change an article from its contents, right? Just like on the floor of the annual meeting. You can't change the basic contents of the article. You can only amend certain things, right? Like the amount of money or something, right? So that you could do from the informational meeting, but the virtual meeting is where the public still has the ability to voice their opinions, suggest changes again, and then after that meeting, you would make your final decision as what it's going to be on the ballot.
No, you know what? You know what? Here's how I read that. The informational meeting is going to be and we can make it an open dialogue if we choose to. We can have people raise their hands on the virtual site, and we take all the information. The second meeting, the optional annual meeting, we will read people's comments. We will explain our position. We can take more information from the public. And it says in the NHMA thing that the commissioners shall review the budget and the warrant articles, and in the end of that public meeting, even though it's virtual, that's when we amend the warrant during that meeting. We don't do it afterwards in a separate meeting like a commissioner's meeting. We must make the decisions at the end of that session, and those decisions are going to be considered amended on the floor. Then that ends up being the warrant that gets printed so that people can vote up or down. So we have to decide how to amend that warrant at the end of that second meeting.
Okay. Yep.
And so that's the
Public can hear us. So the public can hear us, and I think it's good because then they'll understand maybe our decision-making process versus us doing it at a separate meeting, you know, commissioner's meeting where we discuss it. But in that meeting, that second part of the annual meeting, we finalize what's going to go on the ballot at that meeting. Right.
So you're telling public. Me that the commissioners are going to vote publicly on each one if there's some discussion.
Yes,
it says
we shall do it.
I just want to say I think the whole process now gives people a lot of input, but it does take away some of their power to vote on amending our warrants. That's just the way the new process has to work. But in that's why it makes that point in there that it's really up to us to make sure that we really try to reflect what the people are saying they want and they will vote for, because they can then go vote against it if we don't change it. And it's the idea of people to persuade up or down, and hopefully they persuade us if they feel something needs to be changed. We don't have to change it. They don't have to vote for it. So I think Kathy's explained it pretty well.
Let me give everybody an example. Last year there was an article to reconstruct or repave Idlewild Drive for $69,000. That was amended on the floor to $5,000, basically to just patch the road until it finally gets reconstructed. So let's say that we have something similar to that this year. So what's going to happen at that second meeting is we're going to open up the channels of communication and say, okay, here's the article to repave Idlewild Drive for $69,000. Anybody have any questions or concerns? They can't make a motion to amend it. They'll say, I would like you to amend it to $5,000 and wait a couple of years for reconstruction.
So my suggestion is $5,000 for that article. Now, then the commissioners can say, okay, we're done hearing all the amendments, potential amendments and changes on articles, and here's what we're going to decide. We're going to keep it at $69,000. We can do that.
Right.
Yep.
And that's how we do it.
Right. So now we can decide if it's a video meeting, we could say, how do people feel about that? Show of hands. Who thinks it should be amended? People have to be very persuasive. I mean, I think it requires people who feel if somebody thinks it should be who should be decreased by to 5,000, we can either just let that go and that's their comment. And if we don't agree with them, if that person has persuaded their fellow citizens, then people will vote it down. If that person hasn't persuaded their fellow citizens and we don't change it, then we've been done a better job of convincing them. It's a very different process, and it does take some of that power away from the legislative body. Unfortunately, that's the way it works. That's the way. I'm sure they've come up with the best solution that they can. But as I said, it is up to us to listen. I would hope that if somebody feels strongly about making an amendment like that, that they would argue persuasively, and that some other people would speak up. Or, as I said, we could on a video ask people.
You can even on the Microsoft Teams, you may have the ability to look at everybody's face and the little Zoom type screen. But you also there's a little thumbs up, thumbs down option so that Donna can kind of just look down the side and go, okay, it looks like I've got about two thumbs up and 20 thumbs down, and that will give us a feel for what the overall attending public feels. They're not actually voting, but they're expressing their thoughts either up or down. So they will have that give and take. So the public's going to have three opportunities to interact with the commissioners regarding this warrant. There's going to be the regular general January 27th public meeting where we first present our proposal. From the proposal, we then create the warrant and submit it to the DRA to make sure it's all worded correctly. Then the informational session is to present that finalized warrant.
Yep.
And based on comment from the budget hearing. Then we present it. That's where we keep track of who makes the comments and what their comments are. 7 days later, we have our second half of the annual meeting, and we say that, Joe Smith felt strongly about the paving warrant article, and here's his thoughts, and we can explain our thoughts. So that's when we present what the feedback was from the first half of the meeting, which is the informational session. The public can also chime in depending on how we allow that conversation, if we mute everybody and do it by raise of hands. And then when we're done, we in that public meeting say, okay, here's the budget. Do we keep it as is and move it to the final amended, or do we amend it? So that's when we make that decision, and then based on that meeting, that's when the alternate ballot gets created with the final decision on the numbers.
Right.
I think we're all in agreement.
Jay, I think you took a good shot at that first letter. How about now? If it runs to me, I'll take the letter at this point. Your draft. I'll do some work on adding some of the stuff we talked about, maybe about the hearing, and then I pass it along to Kathy, who's good at sort of editing. That way all three of us have sort of taken a swing at it, and Kathy's always good at getting words out.
Donna, can I ask Donna a question? Donna?
Yeah?
Donna, not you, Jay. Donna. Yeah. Now, when you worked with Andrew...
I did not, unfortunately. Lynn did.
So we need to reach out. We need to reach out to Andrew. I think with the first of all, that in response to his correspondence to us in some format, and also we did come up with a good template for a pro bono agreement that he would be willing to agree to protect him and us. And if we're going to be relying on him to go through this Microsoft Teams. Even for our January 27th meeting, if you want to do that, or are we going to do just the regular call-in meeting that we're doing now for January 27th?
I think I'd like to have Teams, because on Teams you're actually able to post the documents that you are
basically describe
we can do
it.
We can do screen sharing.
Yeah, screen sharing is what it is. So yep. everyone will
so we
have
can do
a copy of that, hopefully with the mailing. Well, no, I'm sorry, they won't. So, yeah, I think we need to use Teams so that we can actually post the document. But for those people that do not have computers, the phone option will be their alternative. I hope everybody has a phone, because the only other method would be to sit outside someone's home and listen through the glass window.
And anybody can. And what we'll do is we can print a couple copies of the presentation along with the budgets and put them in the mailbox. So if somebody wants one prior to the meeting, they can follow along with the hard copy. I don't think we should necessarily print and mail that to everybody. I think the majority of people, the first time they generally see these documents is at the public hearing that we're doing on January 27th. They'll be posted on the website. They can open the document, follow along on the document, follow along the presentation with that document on the website, or, again, those few people who don't have a computer, we can put a hard copy together for them and stick it in the mailbox.
Okay.
You think about this process, but you're actually providing more vehicles for more people to participate than ever before.
Right.
I agree.
Because all your budget hearings before, you know, you had to be there. I think in some ways this is a positive thing. And I look at that, what you talked, you know, the explaining the virtual meeting, being able to actually get a sense of the audience before you make your decision is really steps at the annual meeting, you know, and then the votes happen the way they do. But it sounds to me like it's going to be a good process. We just got to make sure everybody understands it. So.
Yeah. And I think, too, I think, Jay, part of the reason that I think that the House bill and even NHMA may have to tweak things is, you know, when you have a large warrant article to borrow over $100,000, how do you do that? So there's a lot of things that don't apply to our little district that are much more complicated. Our annual meeting is becomes very complicated, but when you boil it all down, it's really not that complicated. So we're not dealing with the large things that the city of Manchester is, or the city of Concord. So
I think
we're overthinking it a little bit.
Most every year we have had a bonding question. This is somewhat unusual not to have one. So, you know, that's why they have to address every avenue. So we are fortunate this year that that's not, you know, an issue.
Yeah.
Move on a little bit. So just quick question. So should – do you want me to reach out to Andrew and see if we can make sure that we do some tests on inviting people to a Microsoft Teams meeting and do a screen share?
Yeah, because I'd like to have someone else other than the three commissioners or the moderator or the office, because Donna, I don't know if Donna's going to be taking minutes or who's going to be taking minutes, but we need to have somebody basically making sure that everybody on the presentation, the first virtual hearing, is muted so that we can read the article in question and for the budget, for example, go line by line and then open up or see a raise of hands for someone who wants to comment. But we also have to have some rules that we need to talk about later on.
Right.
You allow someone to comment 10 times on the same article.
So basically we need somebody. We probably need Andrew to technically run the meeting.
I was thinking the same thing. Exactly.
Yeah.
He can technically run the meeting. So somebody will have the PowerPoint presentation, and so that way they can click through the slides. You're not relying on a third person to next. So somebody, and that could be me, I can bring the PowerPoint up. Andrew can connect my presentation to the sharing feature, and then Jay, as commissioner or as chairman, and Bob will say, okay, you know, we're going through the PowerPoint and go through it line by line. So all Andrew will be doing is managing the people that are logged into the meeting.
Right.
Donna will take notes. I can do that. I've got the presentation almost done. And then, Jay, you'll be kind of justifying, explaining, and reviewing each of the things that we present.
Yeah, so can you just reach out to him, make sure he's available that day?
Yes. Yes.
Okay.
Well, first of all, you know the dates. Yes, for the budget hearing, you know what that date's going to be, right?
Right.
But we haven't come up with the other two dates yet to talk to them.
Well, let me sign my document here. Hold on.
Bob, on those other two meetings, we actually need guidance. We're waiting on guidance. So,
I understand that. How much time do we need between the virtual meeting, not the informational meeting, the virtual meeting, and the voting? You know, is that a
It doesn't say. Or? It doesn't say.
No,
that's
no,
right.
But logistically, we're going to have to get ballots finalized and printed, and you have to post them, the ballot, right? How many days? Is that 3 days, or is that a week? Or,
okay.
I don't know.
So here's what. So on the document that I prepared, for an example, if we do the first mailing, which we have to send a letter to every single registered voter, if we mail that by February 5th, okay, and that'll be a week and a half after our public hearing on the budget. So February 5th, mm-hmm. we'll do the mailing, and that's we can mail them the budgets and the warrant articles if we choose to, but it's not necessary. Just it's really about the process going forward. So February 5th will be that mailing. February 16th, we'll have our first session. The second session we'll have on February 23rd, which is a Tuesday. On February 26th, that'll give us, because on the 23rd, we will have made all the adjustments to the warrant articles and the budget based on the meeting.
Right.
So at the end of business on the 23rd, we'll know what's going to happen. So we can tweak the numbers, amend the warrant, and do a final mailing of the if we choose to. I don't think we have to mail it, do we?
I don't think we have to.
No.
I think we can send it and do it digitally.
Okay.
I don't
so we can post
mail a copy
we can
of
post
the final ballot.
It has to be posted.
It has to be posted.
Right. Okay.
And you would put it on put it on the website also with the link, and you could send out an email and say here's the link to the
mail ballot. Okay. So if we do if it's finalized by February 26th, or if we decide to mail it a postcard saying that it's on the website, however we want to communicate, and then the voters will get all of that by March 5th, and then and we'll be creating the alternate ballot at that time, and our drive-through will be on March 9th.
March 6th.
I thought our voting was for March 6th. I thought we were doing.
Okay, I put on the top. Maybe we should change it to the 9th, so every one of these things is on a Tuesday. If you want to keep it Saturday drive through, that's fine. But I just thought maybe do everything on a Tuesday.
Well, you know, my only concern is having these poor people standing out in the parking lot in the dark in the evening. It's going to get. It could be frigid
it doesn't,
cold.
Well,
if you do it on Saturday morning, at least.
I agree. Since I'm one of those going to be standing outside.
Okay, so we'll keep it March 6th. We'll
keep it
March
6th, and it's 10 to 12 in the morning. Let's get it, you know, people can get it done in the morning. And
Okay, we'll keep it. I was just thinking of consistency, Tuesday, but yeah, you're right. I didn't think about the poor people standing out there at the polling station. Okay, so so it does say that after that second meeting where we then finalize the warrant for voting, that we could send a second mailing. Now, if we choose not to do it, that gives us a couple extra days to get ready to get the alternate ballot ready.
Well, the I'm not sure the mailing is really all that. As long as we post it on the website and we post it in the public places, it's really no different than any other year. And then they're going to receive their ballot when they come vote. I mean,
I guess the question is
about the ballot. Do we have to put all of the words on every article on the ballot, or do we just say question number one and then just the title of it? And that's still an open question that I think may get resolved when Jay and I attend that meeting.
I would put something like warrant article to reconstruct Chicora View Drive, $37,500 to be raised by taxes. That's how I would word it, so that people can relate the number one or two to the warrant article itself. And then the first question has to be, do you approve of this optional process? Yes or no?
Right.
So we know that. Okay.
Yep.
So we know that. So when they drive up, they're going to get three things. They're going to get, so each person in the car who has a valid ID that matches up to the voter registration list. So if there's three people in the car, they each are going to get a ballot to vote for officers. They're going to get the yes-no ballot for the budgets and the warrant articles. Then they will get a full copy of the warrant itself so that they can thumb through it if they have questions about a particular item.
Okay. All right. So if they're going to get a full copy of the warrant, that's fine.
So that they they'll know what they're voting on, and they and so their deliberative session will be they'll go to the parking lot and read through it to confirm the details, and then make their decisions, yes or no, and then hand back the two pieces of paper to the poll workers. One will be their vote for officers. The second will be their yes no vote on the budget and the warrant articles.
Okay.
So I would just make two other things we should think about as we go through this, which we also decide today, how we're going to notify people results, because I think you always want to know. So we can maybe think about whether we create an email on Saturday afternoon or Sunday morning and we get it out. Yep. So that would be important. And then the second thing is, and so people know when they're going to get results. We tell them that maybe when we get in the ballot, you know, or something. I think because you sort of want to hit when you don't know information. So if we just we should publish that. When we publish the schedule, actually, when we're going to announce results. The second thing we should think about, can we schedule a snow date because for the voting? Because if for some reason that Saturday morning we wake up and there's a foot of snow, we don't want people driving down to vote. So we should maybe make the Tuesday evening after a snow date if there's a storm given February.
Bob, can we do that?
That would
can
be
we have
the
an alternate date for the...
There are very strict rules about postponing an annual meeting.
Right.
And who has that authority to do that and so forth. Well, so I think that's something that we want to, that we'll work out.
That we should
I think
look at
one
then.
Of my questions to, for that February 6th meeting, you know, to find out what is our requirements with this new process if it is a snowy, dangerous day. You know,
right?
And then we can make that decision at that time. All those questions should be answered prior to our very first meeting, where we explain the procedures.
Yeah.
Like not the
and you know what,
meeting,
Bob?
But the first meeting, the first informational meeting, is where we're going to explain in detail the process.
Okay.
Right.
So I guess my question would be: so if we're sending out a we're going to send out a notice. Whether we do it strictly through our MailChimp and our website, or whether we opt to do a postcard for the budget hearing, do we want to include in that meeting the details of the optional annual meeting?
I'm not sure we will have all of the details questions answered on January, whatever the date was, 26th or whatever, personally, I'm kind of counting on that. Why else would I spend my time during that meeting if it wasn't going to answer some of these questions? I don't want to say something, you know, in a letter and then have it have to be changed, right?
Okay. And so do we mention that we're considering?
We could be general about things, the way it's going to work, certainly, and name the meetings and the dates. And then when we go to our first informational meeting, we can, describe in more detail the process.
Right.
That's my thought.
Because we'll be doing the mailing. We will be doing a mailing to all the registered voters, hopefully on February 5th.
Right.
I did get an updated checklist.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yep.
For the mailing, for the addresses of people? Okay.
Yeah, I can
send
that out
to you, Kathy. What about people? I know you're saying you're getting an updated checklist. The only other question that probably is that, I don't know, I think we asked last week, is as of what date do you have to have a registered checklist? Because people could be registering to vote now, and we don't have them. There's a lot of new people in the district. So, at what point do we have to say, here's all the registered voters? We should just make sure that, or is there a way for Town Hall to send us an update at some point?
Yeah, that's what I do. I call one of the checklist ladies.
Yeah. I just want to be careful because it's still pretty early. And you can register to vote, I think, on the day you vote, right? You can register in person.
Exactly.
So,
not this time, I don't think.
But if we now start sending out information, and word gets out about what's going on, there may be people who go down to register to vote in the next 2 weeks. So let's be careful about what lists we use. That's all.
All right. Hey, let's move on.
Can I make one other comment just about all this communication? Because I think I'll work on the letter. That'll be the next thing I'll do. I'll get that out, the draft out to the office. As soon as possible, so Kathy, you can edit it. But I think we're overdue on a newsletter, which I know we've been putting off. I think it would be, and maybe you're already planning this, Kathy, but a newsletter should go out ASAP. I mean, we need to get some information to folks, one, that they need to, they have a deadline coming up if they want to run for office. We need to let people know that.
I've already got it done.
You've got that drafted. And then I think the other second big information is the whole annual meeting process is going virtual this year. More information to follow as soon as in the next week or two. And then we need to get this letter that we're I know we're drafting this letter for March 5th, but I think we need to post all this information way sooner than March 5th. Not March 5th, February 5th. We need to get this information posted to people soon about all these dates for these meetings so people can put it on their calendar. People
want
to know what's going on. So I think that the newsletter should
excuse me, just a second.
We're getting the stuff out. Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll just enter the meeting with the last digit of 5303.
This is Larry Sedano.
All right. Kathy, that's all for the newsletter, I think. Just put in there that we're working on the process and we'll get information posted and emailed to you, as well as and if you're a registered voter, you'll be getting a letter as well. Just put that in the newsletter so people know what to expect. Yeah.
Working on the process. Okay. And then January 20th. Yeah. So most of it I've got done. I've got the whole snow plowing email portion done, and as well as the January 29th deadline. So I'll just put in there basically I think that the structure of the annual meeting is not going to change. It may be the fine points and the details going forward as they start answering questions, but it sounds like we kind of got it nailed down. And do we want to keep those dates that I proposed, the 16th for the first meeting and the 23rd for the second meeting?
Works for me.
February 16th. Sounds like February 23rd.
All right. We need to move on.
I have one more thing. This is Dinah. Has the supervisors of the checklist been informed about our annual meeting?
They were informed back when we decided the date, so they know it's March 6th, Dinah.
Okay, but they don't know about the drive-up thing. Maybe we should keep them in the loop.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. The town of Madison knows that we're going with the alternative system, Dinah, which means our voting is going to be outside. Okay. All right, I want to move on the agenda. So still under my commissioner's reports, I want to talk about the asset management. Sorry?
Okay, Bob, thank you.
Hi, Bob.
Thanks, Bob. I want to talk about the asset management grant. As everybody has seen, we were awarded and chosen to receive a $20,000 matching grant from the New Hampshire Department of Environmental Services. That's all I'm going to say about that, other than the fact that we have a warrant article that's going to address that on this year's ballot.
That's great. I'm sorry, I missed that information. I feel like I missed half these emails. I got to be. I went through every single email 2 days ago. I missed that one.
Yeah.
Did it just? Good. That's great.
No.
There's a couple of things.
That went out December 31st.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh, I missed it. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, and just so Larry Sedano knows, because Larry's on the Water Committee, we were informed of the grant availability, it was sometime in December, and then we realized we had, 4 or 5 days in which to get our application in. And so with the assistance of project engineer Chris Albert, who was on the RINAC project, he reached out to someone who does this for a living. We got one filled out. We approved the wording of it. We sent it in, and we were awarded the grant. And the reason for the grant is basically to address our lack of mapping. So,
can I speak to this?
Yeah, go ahead, Larry.
I don't know if it's public session or not, but
you are.
Yeah, I called in at the right time, I guess, because I was calling in because I talked with Larry Leonard earlier about kind of revitalizing the asset management program. So this is quite timely.
Yeah. We didn't know if we were going to get it, but we gave it a shot, and we got it.
So is this something that maybe, since the most complicated and assets we have, the biggest issue really is the water system. Would this be something the water system maybe should the water committee, rather. I mean, the water committee hasn't met for a long time, I
believe. Over a year.
If we start having those meetings, we could start up with asset management again.
Yeah, the sole purpose, really, of this particular grant is to have a third-party contractor come in and do our asset management mapping and infrastructure asset find. It has to be water related. So
yep.
Yes, we're definitely looking for, it won't be an in-house job. We have a lot of information that the asset management committee has already collected, curb stop valves, isolation valves, culverts. There's a lot of data. It just now needs to be put into a map.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, the committee should start up again to hopefully find reliable contractors that can do this type of work so that we can get a contract going if, in fact, we get a vote by the voters to match that grant.
Okay.
Okay.
So that's become a warrant article to expend any matching funds. Yeah. Okay.
And the right now, the way the warrant article is written, Larry, is we had considerable savings on our budget this year, is that the matching $20,000 would come out of the unassigned fund balance because we put quite a bit of money back into that unassigned fund balance.
Okay.
So there'd be no raising of taxes.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah, and okay. I mean, it doesn't mean that we need to spend $20,000. It's up to $20,000.
Exactly.
So
it's there. It's there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's 50
right,
cents
so,
on the dollar, whatever we do spend.
Yeah. And I don't want to discuss because I'm waiting for other proposals, but we also have a proposal from White Mountain Survey to subdivide the lot at the top of Oak Ridge for the possibility of selling the lodge. There are two buildings on one lot. The cabana and the lodge are on the same contiguous lot. If you're going to sell the lodge, you'd have to separate the two. We're just getting numbers to see what it would take to have a surveyor separate those two lots. Okay? A little while back, we had talked about, we got an email this week from the trustees of the trust funds in Madison, and they have a date, I think it's today, that if there's any request of transferring funds, they would like to know today so that they can actually execute it next week. And if I go back into my minutes, there was the $5,500 from the Water System Capital Reserve, and then a $1,230, I think it's $1,230 or thereabouts, for the Monadnock Archaeological, which was to come from the Waterline. I'm sorry, the $5,500 was to come from the Waterline Extension Fund. The $1,230 was to come from the Water System Capital Reserve. So can we get those transfers?
No,
done?
Jay, back up. What was the $5,500 for from the Extension Fund?
That was for the new water line into the DPW building. Remember, it said actually tight tank, and I'm like, wait a minute, tight tank was a warrant article. It's not a capital reserve fund. So I actually
dug that back into it.
Yeah, we spent
on Ian's bill. Did we identify $5,500 worth of work for the? Cause I know we got rid of the bleeder, and he did some work on the water system there for sure.
Right.
Was it $5,500 worth?
Yeah, so we ran that new water line to the building from the water main out by the pump, the main pump. And also,
okay.
I think $5,500 is what the cost for that was. That was over 100 feet of water line.
Okay, all right. I just want to make sure that we've got an invoice from Ian that showed that. I don't remember it being that much, but okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I sent an email. I sent an email last night in regards to where all those numbers came from when it happened.
Is that
the Waterline Extension Fund that we're in charge of, though, for the 55?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
So that has nothing to do with Madison. No, we can just transfer the money.
Right.
Yeah, the $1,230, though, was the Monadnock Archaeological Bill. For the archaeological dig up the top of Reinhardt. And that one was to come from the Water System Capital Reserve Fund. We did not want to take that out of the project because we were not going to get compensated from the grant.
Correct.
That's in one of the disbursements, Jay.
The 1,200, really?
Yep.
The Manad mark?
Yep.
I think DEF
required
that. That's
in the three of four. That was part of what I just, let me just see.
It was, Donna. I know it was.
Yeah. Where's my folder? Wait a minute. Yeah. I know it was, and you also at a meeting said to wait until next year to do it. Because we had missed
I wouldn't worry
the
about that one. I mean, eventually, we'll have to start tapping into the capital reserve funds once we start looking at that alternate ad project and using up the rest of our contingency money to get the full grant. So for $1,200, I think it's not worth it to go through that. We can leave it posted as is. But the $5,500 definitely should come out of our water budget and go to the capital reserve fund.
Right, but we have a motion that was made and seconded and approved, and
okay.
Then we're not following through with it on the books. That would create an auditor's nightmare.
Okay. All right, then. If we want to move it, that's fine. That's fine.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just filling out that form.
Okay. So that comes from the water system, and then the $5,500 will be just out of just a cash transfer out of the extension fund.
Exactly. Yep.
Okay.
All right. That's all I have. Kathy, I'm going to hand the microphone to you. So
okay.
Annual meeting stuff. Yep.
Yep. We talked about that, and then just working with Donna to get the budgets finalized for 2020. We're posting bills that have come in this month of January back to 2020 so that we're going to have a very accurate reflection of what our true expenditures were for 2020. So I got an updated version. She and Kelly sat down and kind of looked at all the bills that came in through the DPW building and separated those that were truck-related and those that were more buildings and grounds and supplies. So with that updated budget, we'll go through and update that. I think we might want to have another budget review. Is that something we want to do? We're going to do tomorrow. No, Tuesday, right?
Tuesday
the 12th.
Yeah, Tuesday.
Yeah, let's do that Tuesday the 12th. I can't do it on the 11th. But on Tuesday the 12th at 9 a.m., I'll post it on the website, and we'll just focus on the budget line items and the warrant articles.
Okay. And I'd like to make a motion with regards to a statement you made and something I was thinking about. I'd like to make a motion that we actually close our books as of January. What's the last day of January? The 30th or 31st? I think it's the
31st.
Always the 31st.
Yeah. I'd like to close our books. Now, yes, we may have invoices that fall after that, but I don't want to just keep the books open waiting for people to basically send us their invoices. At some point, we just have to cut bait and go fish. And I think January 31st, because I want to have the auditors start right after that and get their job done as well.
Right.
So I'll make
not,
that motion.
They're
do
not.
We have a second on that?
I'll second that.
Okay. Any discussion?
Okay.
I have a question. Are there any? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Donna.
Okay. The motion is to close our books as of January 31st for the bills of 2020, right?
Yes.
Yeah,
that's the most.
Okay. Thank
you. So my question is, do we know of any bills that we don't have yet? Like, we should have a good sense of who we owe money to, guys. So what are we waiting for? Do we have Ian's bill, or will it be here soon? Do we have the electric bill? Like, what else do we know is coming? And if anything is from a vendor, like a Dawson or somebody like that who's done work for us, but also ask Kelly, like, is there anything... that I know he just bought some sand or some, he bought something, salt or sand last week. Do we have the bill for this stuff? And if not, somebody should reach out to the vendor this week and say, get us your bills. Our books are closing and you won't get paid.
Right. Yep.
I guess
private enterprise, Ian, I did this all the time and I didn't, and I always got the bills, guys. You get the bills.
Yeah.
People want to get
Ian,
paid.
Ian sent out his bill and we paid it last week.
For December.
But there will be a December for the water leak, so I can have him do...
Yeah, make sure, let him know that our books are closing and all bills need to be in or they won't get paid.
I have no problem saying that
yeah.
to folks.
I mean, most
people
and
do
most,
it all
most
the time, guys.
Yeah, but most of our
paid.
Vendors, you know, Spectrum, Eversource, all the, you know, Eastern
yeah.
Propane, those
yeah.
all come in automatically. It's just those
right,
individuals
right.
that sometimes, you know, doing the billing is
right.
kind of an inconvenience to them, so they put it off.
I would check with Kelly. Have we got the bill? My big issue is salt and sand, because I think we wanted to get that in because we had money in the budget. So let's make sure
yeah.
we have all those invoices.
Okay.
Gravel, anything from, you know, up the street there. Any of those
okay,
places.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So
I think
it's
a good idea.
Motion's on the floor. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Yes.
Aye.
Okay. All right. Keep going, Kathy.
No, I think that was it. It was basically just the budget. I'll look at Paula's draft of the statement regarding the process of the annual meeting. I did look at Paula's letter to explain to the to prospective purchasers about how the water system works, and I just went through and made a couple of alterations to it, and I did send it, Jay, back to you in the office and to Donna and to Paula. So
yep.
Maybe next week, if Jay, if you've got anything to add to that for clarification purposes, I think it's good to have a consistent statement that we're sending to people every time they ask about a water hookup.
No, actually, I read your modifications to Paula's draft, and I agree with the with that use of different words. So I'll even hand it over to Paula right now if you're through, Kathy, and let Paula discuss that letter, and maybe we can actually approve it today.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I read Kathy's changes. I'm reading them right now. They look good. So I think with these edits, I actually don't think, unless Jay wants to take, if Jay's read it, I've read it. I think we should. The question is what is this? Like, is it a policy? Is it just a letter? Is it some documentation that Donna can cut and paste and put into an email? Like, what?
Yeah.
What form is it? What is this thing? Like, is it just?
You know, it's just like the other document where we had a single page explaining how the village district works, that it's a municipality,
okay.
and I think it's just, I'll put water hookup fact sheet, just like the Idlewise fact sheet, so that it's a summary
okay.
of what prospective property owners need to know in a more conversational
okay.
document rather than the ordinance.
And the only thing is obviously take off the watermark, and then I would date it as well, say as of today, January, adopted by
yeah.
the Board of Commissioners as of whatever today is.
Right, and I'll put I can put the logo on it and all that good stuff, so, okay.
Yeah, and then
right.
it's done. And then and I think, Kathy, I mean, Donna, you can either just send this to people, or if you needed to ever, needed only part of it, you could just cut and paste part of it, whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
But
So
okay.
I'll dress up the water hookup. Okay, water hookup. Okay, yep, I'll just dress that up a little bit, Donna, so you'll have the finished document, both a Word and a PDF, so you can attach it and send it to all the folks that are inquiring.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll make a motion to approve that letter drafted by both Paula and Kathy as our communications for people inquiring about hooking up to the water system. Do I have a second on that?
I'll second that.
Okay. All in favor, say aye. Aye.
Yeah.
Yes.
Before we vote, one question. Do we need that first? I wrote it, but do we need that first sentence? Like,
thank you for your inquiry.
Or even the... Yeah, I just wonder,
sure.
and also the word even unfortunately. I as I wrote it, I'm like, well, do we have to say you can leave it. I think it's fine.
Yeah, no, I think it is unfortunate because
yeah,
this has been an issue for many years, and this is
okay.
hopefully with this asset management grant, we're addressing it. So
okay.
All right, I'm good.
That's fine.
I'll
yep.
vote aye. I'll vote yes.
Right. Aye.
Yes. Okay.
Great. All right. Again, just so people know, we're going to have another budget and warrant article meeting on Tuesday at 9 o'clock. That'll be a public meeting in case anybody wants to call in. And that was a tabled item. And I don't have anything else. I'll just jump down to public appearances. Do we have anybody on the call that would like to ask any questions or have any concerns for the commissioners?
Just Dynam and Larry on.
Okay.
This is Dina. This year I'm going to start using that transfer sheet that Catherine recommended. So I will fill one out for that $5,500 transfer from the water extension to our operating account and ask you to sign it.
Okay.
Okay. Yep, that's fine.
Great. Thank you. All right.
So quick question, Jay. So when you were talking, and this, I guess, goes to Larry Sedano as well, when you talked about the asset management grant and what's going to happen if the voters approve it, it sounded to me like Chris and this other engineering firm, was it like Price and Wright or Fisher and Price or something like that?
Yeah, weren't
they the ones that we've kind of are already kind of connected to as far as going forward with the grant and because of their expertise in water mapping systems that we were going to be using them?
Well, we haven't made that decision. They simply offered. I reached out to Chris. Chris actually reached out then to Wright and Pierce. They fill these forms out all the time. They gave us one that was already completed. We submitted it, and I believe we won based on our need. But that doesn't commit us to using them.
You said that they did Tamworth, and they do very large systems as well as relatively small systems.
It's really the process that I'm concerned about. I'd like to see some product that they've actually done for other communities. But we'll make those decisions later on.
Okay, I just wanted to bring that up.
Yeah, let me just put a date in people's heads. So there were six documents that came with that email that need to be followed and filled out in the application process. And those are due by April 6th. Okay, that's the date to remember, April 6th.
Yep.
Okay.
Right. So we have to have the minutes to prove the minutes to show that the monies were appropriated and all that good stuff.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Hearing no other public comments, I'll make a motion to adjourn. Do I have a second?
I will second that.
Okay. Just before we go up. Paula, this is 1 hour and 45 minutes. Is that better?
That's excellent. Excellent. I take it we don't need a non-public today?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. Before we adjourn, I'd like to go to non-public. Oh, my gosh.
Sorry. I'm extending.
Okay. I didn't think you had the information to go to non-public yet.
Okay. I'd like to make a motion to go to non-public under 91A. Colon 3, B, I think it was, right? Employment?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Do I have a second to go to non-public?
Okay. I'll second.
Okay, a roll
call.
All in
favor,
say aye.
Okay.
So you have to withdraw the prior motion.
Yeah, that's what I was just asking.
During the meeting.
I'll withdraw my prior motion or put it on hold. I'll withdraw the prior motion so that we can go to non-public.
Okay.
All in favor,
I'll vote aye to go aye.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Okay, Paula, could you do the conference call again through your phone?
Yeah. All right.
All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Exactly. Goodbye, everybody. Yep.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.